For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, July the 2nd, 2000. This is the afternoon teaching and deliverance service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, summer family camp meeting. Dr. Bill Noe of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your anointing to come down now. We ask for divine protection, Lord God. Lord, I just ask you to send the war angels now, Lord God, to minister to your people, the ministering spirits to minister, that you'd have the war angels gather up all the loose demons in this place and take them away, Lord. That any demons that come forth, Lord, that your angels will bind them with chains and carry them off to wherever you want them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for your anointing to flow, for it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and bless you as we open your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about the power of the spoken word. God witnessed to me that I should talk about curses today. Now, there are two types of curses that we generally teach on. One is curses that come down from the sins of the fathers that open you for a number of generations to demonic oppression. Unless they're broken. Now, thank God, in Galatians it says Jesus was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. Now, people say that there are a number of churches that believe that that was automatically done when you were saved. But there were a number of exchanges made at the cross. That was one of them. Another one was that he bore all of your sickness and infirmities and pain. If it's automatic, why are they sick Christians? Because they haven't claimed the gift of healing. That's why. By his stripes, you were healed. You have been healed. It says in 1 Peter. But yet, unless you claim that, in the name of Jesus, it won't come to pass. The word has to be spoken forth in faith. And the same for breaking of curses. And for the other, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, but they have to be claimed. These same people who believe that, they don't believe in healing is for today either. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And so, I just pray for them and say, God bless you. And ask God to open their eyes that they can behold it. Now, where does it say in the Bible that a Spirit-filled, born-again Christian can be cursed and have it be effective? Does it say that in the Bible? Yes, it does. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. I need to define for you what a curse is. A curse is an evil implication. That's evil that is spoken forth. Okay. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? That word bewitched, now that is a standard Greek word to be smitten by the evil eye, which means to have a curse placed on you. Now, I know a little Greek. He runs a deli in my hometown. But my Greek expert is Derek Prince. And Derek says that is a standard Greek word. To be smitten by the evil eye, to have a place cursed on you. What's happened here, the Galatians have had a bunch of false teachers, a group of false teachers come in and carry them back to salvation by works. Through a witchcraft curse has been placed on them. They've been bewitched, deceived into accepting and putting themselves in bondage to the principles of this world, to the beggarly principles of elements, Now, that word elements or principles, I can't remember which one it is in Galatians, means, if you look at it, that is a Greek word that means the elemental powers of the earth and the spiritual forces behind them. It's not sodium, potassium, and the elements as you and I think of, but it's the spiritual powers that control the natural universe. The rain, the wind, the weather, and the movement of the stars. And these had demonic beings that were worshipped that were supposed to control these. And that's what they went back under. But we won't go into that. The Bible says you can be cursed. Now it says in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause cannot alight. Now, curses can't light on you unless they have a cause. Where else does it say that? It says this. Let's look in Numbers chapter 25. Here we have the story of Balaam, who became a soothsayer and was hired to curse the children of God. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 21. Let's start up at verse 19. This was the second prophecy of Balaam. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said? Will he not do it? Has he not spoken it? Will he not make it good? Behold, I received the command to bless. He is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. The shout of a king is among them. God brings him out of Egypt. He is a strength like a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. He says, if he has not observed iniquity in them, therefore witchcraft will not work against them. If you don't have any sin in your life, but Solomon says, lo, there is no man that does not sin. And 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. The secret is to keep short accounts with God. If you fall and the Holy Spirit witnesses it to you, repent immediately. Stop and turn away from it. Now, penance is more than saying, I'm sorry. God, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says that godly sorrow brings repentance, which leads to salvation. Worldly sorrow brings death. But if you just say, I'm sorry, Lord, I can't help it, and keep right on moving and keep right on doing it, you have not repented. To repent means to change your mind that it is wrong and turn 90 degrees and walk away from it and not do it anymore. This is a gift from God. You have to pray and ask God to give you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25 says that if perhaps God will grant you the spirit of repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, it says in Romans. And so you pray and God will grant you the spirit of repentance as you turn and walk away from it. You exert your will. You say, no, I will not do it. And you turn and you walk away and God grant you this. You may have to cry out a little bit, but he'll grant it to you. But get the sin out of your life. Get the anger and the unforgiveness out of your life. Get the bitterness out of your life. Those things that offend God. And turn and walk away from it. So you keep short accounts with God, repent of your sin, and walk away. And the curses cannot light on you. Now, the power of life and death is in the tongue. The mouth is the launching pad. Let's look at James chapter 3. There's so much here that I could talk about several of these things, several hours. And I'm just trying to run over rather quickly some of this to give you a basis for what I'm going to talk about with curses. But let's look at James chapter 3, verse 2. And it talks about the tongue. He says, brethren, not knowing that you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If man does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Just verse 8 says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poisoning. Verse 9 says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh water. What he's saying there is out of your mouth comes blessings and cursings. What you say. Now, there are two sources. One is the Spirit of God, and one is the Spirit of the world. And so when you walk in the Spirit of God, and you speak forth, and you speak forth blessings, and they'll come to pass because they're said in the Spirit of God. There was a verse in the Bible that always bothered me. I couldn't understand it. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll use this as an example of the point I'm trying to make to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says, verse 3. It says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we've heard demons say Jesus is Lord. And you know they weren't talking by the Holy Spirit. You cannot stand in the Holy Spirit and say Jesus is cursed. You can't. It will not come out of your mouth in the Spirit of God, in the Holy Spirit. You all agree with that. But it says no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means that you can't say Jesus is Lord and have it happen. Power and authority except in the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. There was a young lady in Kansas City who was in a convenience store, and two crooks came in to hold her up. And they told her they were going to rape her. And she said, in the name of the Lord, she said, you will not, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you and I command you out of him. And she said they dropped their guns and ran out of the door. Now, we don't know how big those angels were who appeared behind her to put the fear of God into those crooks. And it was published in the newspaper. And about a week later, there was another instance. And there was a young lady, but she said it too. But she was like the sons of Sceva, in whom Paul preaches, I adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And they ate her up. They jumped on her and beat her up. And they robbed her and so forth. They had their way. Why? Because she did not speak it forth from the Holy Spirit. It had no power and authority behind it. So you have two sources, two springs, one in the Holy Spirit and one in the world. Now the power of life and death, Proverbs 18:21 says, power of life and death is in the tongue. And so what does it say? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, only that which is necessary for edification, building up, and imparts grace or blessing to the hearer. Romans 12:14 says, bless, don't curse. Matthew 12:33-37 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart will come out. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells you what you're supposed to do. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification of building up, that it might impart grace with the hearers. Now look at verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness or rebellion, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, you know that bitterness and rebellion are the same word in the Hebrew. Wrath, anger, and clamor, which is loud speaking, yelling. But this evil speaking be put away from you. Now, hold your finger there, and let's go over to Isaiah chapter 58. Now, you all recognize this is the fasting chapter. And turn your Bible to Isaiah 58. I want you to look up these scriptures. Don't just sit there and listen to me read them. Because you retain 40% of, perhaps 40% of what I read to you. Maybe 20%. But if you see it, if you turn and you see it in the Bible, and you perceive it with your eye, you will retain about 60% of it. But if you will see it, read it, retain it, and review it tomorrow, you'll retain 90% of it. So if you sit there and don't do anything, you won't get but 20% of what I'm saying. The devil will steal the rest. And so you need to participate and put out some effort to listen and look it up. I'll give you time to find it in your Bible. Isaiah 58, verse 9. He says, when you call, the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he said, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. Well, now, all Hebrew scholars will tell you that the pointing of the finger, the sending out of the finger, and speaking wickedness is speaking curses. That is a word for cursing. There are 9 different words in the Hebrew for cursing. I've got a dissertation about this thick on it. Very interesting to read the different words that the Hebrew has for cursing. But that's a word for cursing. You send it out. You send it out. And it can come to light depending on the situation in which it is spoke and the person to whom it's directed. It can come to pass. And we'll talk about it. Those things. And so it says that you put away anger, rebellion, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, which is ill will. But be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Now, if you look on over to verse 18 to 20, it says, don't be drunk with wine, which you just made, but filled with the Spirit. You're supposed to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so the mouth is made for giving thanks. Now keep your finger there and let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, how many places in the Bible does it say, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? Not many. There's another one in the other chapter. It says you abstain from sexual and from fornication. This is the will of God for your sanctification. There are 2 other places, but we won't go into those. This is the will of God, that you give thanks for everything. You use your mouth to remember that you enter His courts with praise, you come into His courts with praise and into His presence with thanksgiving. You want to come into God's presence, thank Him with a grateful heart because of His great love that He's poured out for you. God poured out the Father's love for you. While you were sinners, He loved you. He sent His Son to die for you while you were yet sinners. And He saved you He redeemed you out of the hand of the devil and brought you out of darkness into light by His great love for you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. His love. His love. He wants His love to flow through you. Unconditional love to flow through you to the people around you, to your wives and husbands and children and brothers and sisters and people on the job. Do you know how 80% of the people in this world get saved? Huh? Somebody asked them to go to church with them. Somebody asked them to go to the revival meeting with them, said, come, go with me.
They were invited by a believer. That's all. Your neighbors. Your unsaved relatives. Your co-workers. Invited them to go to church, to a Bible-believing church, and they heard the message of salvation and God drew them in. But they were invited by another believer. God wants you to let the love of God flow through you. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm getting off the course, but that is the will of God, that you give thanks. You can also look in Colossians 3, 8 and 9. It says the same thing. Praise the Lord. Let's look at them. Praise you, Lord God. Colossians 3, 8. Hallelujah. Look at 5. Therefore, put to death in your members which are on the thirst, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived with them. But now you must put off all anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And don't lie to one another. And so forth. God wants the truth to come out of your mouth. He wants kindness and thanks to come out and praising Him in psalms and hymns and inviting folks to come to know Him. And the word of your testimony to come out. What God has done for you. Tell people. He hasn't called you to preach, but He's called you to share your testimony. Tell God the good things. Go. And what did He say to the man that had been delivered, the Gadarene demoniac? He said, go and show what the good things God has done for you. Now, they asked him to leave. They said, get in the boat and leave, man. But when he came back, they greeted him and they brought the sick on stretchers and they were waiting and they cheered him. Why? Because these two men had gone and shared that testimony of what God had done for them. And these people were ready. Why? Because somebody asked them. Somebody invited them. Praise God. That's the reason you get deliverance. That's the reason God sets you free. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, it's an interesting thing. Let's look at Psalm 35. Him, David is speaking about people who have hurt him. And in verse 12, Psalm 35, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. Proverbs says, if you return evil for good, evil will not depart from your house. The curse of the vagabond will rest upon you if you return evil for good. And then somebody has returned evil to good. And he says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own bosom as he prayed for them. Prayers came back to David. Now, what kind of prayers you want to come back when somebody has returned you evil for good and you pray for them? What kind you want to come back? You want to... Your prayers asking God to bless them and heal them and deliver them coming back to you? Or do you want some sort of a soulish prayer that you, when you stand and ask God to pay them back and God to get even with them and God to avenge them, you want that coming back on you? Praise God. And when you, now those are curses. Now look at Psalm 64. It's not quite as plain, but I think you can see the similarity. Psalm 64, verses 3. Here is a prayer for God's protection by David. And he speaks of, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows. Bend their bows is in italics, which means it's added by the translators. They're to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. Those are curses. Bitter curses. Bitter words they're saying to them. They may shoot in secret the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Look at verse 7. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded, for he will make them stumble over their own tongue. Be careful what you say. It might come back to you. And that's a curse. That's the reason he says, don't speak wickedness. Speak only that builds up, and gives grace to the hearer. Now, who can curse me? Who has the spiritual authority to send forth bitter words into my life? Well, a father can curse his son. A parent can curse their child, their grandchild. A husband can curse their wife. You know, I had a hard time with this. I really had a hard time with it. And one night, as I was studying and working over this, I don't know what really happened, but I found myself looking into a room, and there was a young boy sitting down, and there was a man standing over him, and he was drunk, and he was berating this child, and he was saying, "You ain't got sense enough to pour water out of a boot with the instructions on the heel. You're a loser, you're dumb, you won't ever amount to anything in there." And this beration went on and on. And all of a sudden, something like a laser stream hit this kid. And I just said, "What was that?" He said, "That was the curse that was dispensed to bring this to pass." I said, "Show me in the scripture where it says a father can curse his son." And he said, "Very simple. Look in Genesis 27:10. And the scripture came to me in my mind immediately, but y'all look it up. Genesis 27:10. The story here is one of Jacob. And Jacob had called his Esau and said, "I'm going to die. Go out and kill a deer so that I might and cook it like I like it so I might bless you." And so Esau went out to do it, and when he did, his mother got Jacob and said, "Go out there and kill a kid right quick, and I'll cook it up like he likes it, and you can go and get the blessing instead of your brother." And here it says, "Then take it to your father that he might eat it, and he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother's a hairy man. I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I will seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself instead of a blessing." It says a father can curse his son. And that child was being cursed by a drunk man. I knew the people in the vision. He was being cursed by a drunk man, his father. And that kid lived with those curses until he was 50 years old before he came into deliverance to know the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was set free from that rejection and those curses that were set upon him. Now, if we'll look in Genesis chapter 31, 32, you'll find that Jacob was coming home with his children, and Laban had after him, and he said, "Why'd you have to steal my household goods?" And he says, "But through whosoever you find your good, find your gods or your goods, do not let them live in the presence of our brethren that I have known." But Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen. And so she sat on a saddle and said, "I'm sorry, Dad, I got my period, I can't get up." And so he let her sit there, and she hid the gods from him. And so let's look on and see what happened to her. And let's look in chapter 35, verse 16. "And they journeyed to Bethel, and it was a little distance to go to Ephraim, and Rachel travailed in childbirth, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was another midwife, said, 'Do not fear, you have a son also.' And so it was that her soul was departing, for she died. And she called his name Benoni, but the father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried at Ephraim," that is, at Bethlehem. She died. He said, anybody's got those gods is going to die. Curse of death was placed upon his wife. Okay. And so a father may curse his children. A parent may curse the children. A husband can curse his wife. That's because they're under his spiritual authority. Now let's look at the position of authority. Here we look at Numbers. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 5, 19. Praise your Lord God. Verse 18, and here we have a woman's been accused of adultery, accused of unfaithfulness by her husband because he's jealous, and he brings her to the priest, and the priest shall forth there, the stand a woman before the Lord and uncover her head and put an offering in remembrance and so forth. And in his hand he shall have the bitter water that brings a curse. And he shall put her under oath and say to the woman and so forth and so forth. And he puts her under a curse. You can read the curse in verse 22. It says, the water that causes the curse will go in your stomach, make your belly swell and your thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, so be it. That's important to realize that she accepted the curse from this person in authority over her. And then the priest shall write the curse in the book and scrape them in bitter water, and she'll drink the water and so forth and so forth. And she has not been unfaithful, then nothing will happen. But if she's been unfaithful, her belly shall swell and her fire shall rot. Here you find a physician, someone who is in a position of spiritual authority over you can curse you if you accept it. The example given was a man who decided that he felt God was moving him from one church to another. He was a very successful man. He paid a large tithe. And so he went to the pastor and said that God is moving me from your church to another church. And the pastor didn't want to lose that tithe. And he said, oh, no, 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 you didn't hear God right. No, you're not supposed to leave. And he said, well, you know, he said, I hear God for myself, pastor. And he said, I'm going to leave. He said, if you leave here, your business will you'll go broke. You'll lose your business. I'm sorry, pastor, I got to leave. He did not reject the curse. Within 6 months, he's broke. That actually happened. Curse of a man in authority. Now, the pastor, he paid a price for cursing his flock, too. I don't think that, you know, he was trying to use witchcraft to control that man. He was trying to manipulate him into staying by putting fear in him. That's witchcraft. So you have a man of authority. Likewise, if God has raised you up, now remember this, that all people, all authority emanates from the throne of God. Romans 5:13 says that all authority emanates from the throne of God, and people are in authority because God has placed them there. And if God has placed you in a job, and I hope that you're in the job God has placed you in, then He's raised up that person in authority. He may be the most ungodly person in the world, but you're to submit to Him as in the Lord. It means you don't do anything illegal or immoral. Like Peter said, we obey God rather than you. What Paul say when the high priest said, strike him on the mouth? He said, God's going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. And said, you dare to rebuke God's high priest? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know he was the high priest. Forgive me, for it's written in Scripture, thou shalt not speak evil of the leader of your people. Paul repented, but he didn't stop speaking about Jesus Christ like they told him to. So, now, let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn or refute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So, someone curses you, you don't have a right to accept it. This is also spoken forth in in Numbers. But someone curses you, you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I reject that. I refuse to accept it. I just won't accept that. And it will not light on you. You don't have to let it light. You can reject the authority in the name of Jesus. That's your heritage as a servant of the Lord. It's your heritage. Your righteousness is from Jesus Christ. And you stand and you say, no, I will not accept that curse in the name of Jesus. For someone in authority speaks a curse over you, in your hearing, you say no. Now, you have a right, a biblical right, to curse when you've been wronged. In the Old Testament, let's look at Judges chapter 9. Christians are told not to do this, but it is a scriptural principle. In Judges chapter 9, you know who Jeroboam was. Jeroboam was Gibeon. And when Jeroboam died, he had a son named Abimelech, who was a son by his maidservant, and he had 70 children beyond Abimelech. Well, Abimelech made a pact with the people of Shechem, and they went over and killed all Jeroboam's children, except one, the youngest one, got away. And And Abimelech became the ruler of Israel. And the youngest one, Jotham, stood on the top of Mount Gerizim, which is a mount of cursing, and he cried out. If you look in Judges 9, start at verse 7 and go down to verse 20, is the curse. And it's an interesting curse. And I'd encourage you to read it. We won't take time. But he said, verse 19, if you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jeroboam and his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milio, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and Bilio and devour Abimelech. And he ran away. Now Abimelech, verse 22, reigned over Israel for 3 years. And God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. And you go on and read the rest of it, and you'll find they all got killed, and they all got devoured with fire as the curse was spoken. You see, God sent a spirit of ill will. That's the same spirit that you spoken of in 1 Samuel, where it says, 1 Samuel 16:14, that a distressing spirit from God came on Samuel. And it's the same spirit spoken of in Proverbs when it says, an evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that the works are done, the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition, do not boast and lie against truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Now that word sensual there is in the Greek is soulish. But there is no word soulish in the English. If you get one of them great big Webster's on a Bridge dictionary, you won't find the word soulish in there. There is no English word adverb. There's no adjective for soul in the English. There is in the Greek. There is in the Latin. There is in German and Scandinavian, but not in English. And so in English, it is translated sensual or natural. It says the natural man does not perceive the things of God. That's a soulish man. It says you have buried a natural body. That's a soulish body. In 1 Corinthians 14. Look it up. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So, this wisdom does not descend, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. What does that mean? That means that when you are praying and saying, oh, God, I had this man said, you know, I really want to marry this girl. I've been praying that God will make her so uncomfortable until she says yes, that she won't be able to sleep at night, that I'll be on her mind all the time. I said, you realize that's witchcraft? No. That's asking for God for help. I said, I'm afraid the gods that are helping you are not the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's a demon that will help you. Because that says it's demonic. You're self-seeking, imposing, trying to impose your will on somebody else. And asking God to do it for you. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a demonic prayer. That's a curse. It's a spoken curse that goes forth. And it has demon power to bring it to pass. And I'm going to tell you, what happens to you when you pray and ask demons to do your bidding? You're in idolatry and witchcraft. And you've moved away from the Lord Jesus Christ and you open yourself to a curse. And you've got selfish ambition and self-seeking. That's the narcissistic. Narcissism is a word. There was a Greek god named Narcissus, and he looked into the mirror and into the water, and he was so beautiful that he became consumed with himself, wanting his way. And so out of that we get the psychological term known as narcissistic, meaning self-glorifying, self-beautifying, selfish, wanting your way. And most psychologists cater to the narcissistic tendency in us to let us get the good things. Oh, you need your goodies too. Everybody got to have their goodies, is what the psychiatrist will tell you. It's all right for you to want this and that and the other. But you know, that's catering to the soul. And it puts you under demon power, particularly when you're trying to put other people down to get it. And so that puts you into idolatry and under a curse. You cursing them, they're cursing you. Now, if there's no cause, those curses won't light, but they come on you. And you ever have suddenly this, you're walking along the sun, you just have this spirit of a compulsion to do something? I have it a lot in the spring when, praise you, Lord God, when my family prays for me to come back to the true faith, that feels that I'm in error. I believe in demons. I believe in spirits. And so they are praying for me to come back to the true faith. And they're praying to dead folks to bring it to pass. And I can feel that come down over me. And what I say is that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in condemnation. Lord Jesus, I want you to bless my sister. Bless that wonderful woman. I want you to bring her to salvation. I want you to touch her and bring her to salvation. To know you, the only true and living God. I claim her as a patriarch of the family. I claim her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my sister-in-law. Those are soulish prayers that are written to try to draw you back against your will, to make you do something against your will. And you feel this compulsion. You feel this heaviness come down over you. You feel these desires, these people come into your mind that you didn't bring it up. Or thoughts come into your mind that you didn't bring up. You know God didn't bring it up. Where did it come from? It came from probably soulish prayers. It came from the enemy. And you rebuke it in the name of Jesus and bind it and command it to be gone. And you reject it in Jesus' name. And then let's look at Ezekiel chapter 13. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the people. But Ezekiel 13, chapter 17. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy of their own hearts, prophesying against them. And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils on the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt souls of my people to keep yourself alive? And will you profane me among my people for hands full of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to your lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charm by which you hunt souls like flying things. That word bird there means flying things, literally. I will tear them off your arms and let the souls go. The souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veil and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall no longer be prey for you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because of your lies, you made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you strengthened the hand of the wicked. What's he talking about there? He's talking about professional witches. When I was a small boy, I was raised on a farm close to the swamp in Alabama. And we had a man who lived down the road who was a professional witch. We called him a hoodoo. And he had people to drive in 1950, 49, 48, 47, come 100 miles to get prayed for to be healed. See, it said, folks that keeping alive, folks that who should not be kept alive. And he got healed. And he had divination powers. I remember I was fascinated by him. My great-great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman. And I had some interest in the occult because of that. It was a curse that came down through the family line. I was standing in a prayer meeting in 1978. And there was a man ministering named Joe Williams. And Joe... how many of y'all got allergies? And I held up my hand. And he said, stand up. He said, your great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman. He was a Choctaw Indian shaman. He sold your soul to the devil before you were born for his power. You want to be free of the curses. Yeah. And I held up my hand. He said, hold up your hands and praise God. And I held up my hands, looked up, and I looked into this blinding light. And I don't know what happened. People around me told me all kinds of things happened. I don't remember. All I just remember is the light. And the next day, the nurses at the hospital said, what happened to you, Dr. Null? What do you mean? You're different. You're not the same person you were yesterday. Said, well, I had the devil cast out of me last night. And you know what they said? We believe that. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's talks about recovering the soul. As a hunter of souls, a professional witch can steal your soul, can extract it out. Brother Norman Parrish talks about this happening in Guatemala, where witchcraft is very prevalent. It's also prevalent in this country. I witnessed this. I still remember. I went there one day and I watched him, you know, and this man came in and he'd gotten drunk the night before and he lost his wallet, had his paycheck, his money in it, and he came to ask the hoodoo, and he gave him 50 cents and the hoodoo threw some sticks on the fire that had been soaking in this mineral spring and it had some copper and a lot of sodium in it and it made a funny, it crackled, you know, and it made these various, and he chanted. He looked at this watch. It didn't have a case on it, and so the wheels were moving, and he leaned back, and he chanted something I thought was Swahili, to tell you the truth, but I think it was demonic tongues. And then he told the man where his wallet was. He said, I have a vision. I can see you walking down behind the big oak tree by the big spring. I see you sleeping in your wallet falling out behind that tree. Go get it. Man went and got his wallet. That's divination. What had happened, of course, is a familiar spirit in the man told the hoodoo's familiar spirit where the wallet was, gave him the vision, and he saw it. Makes a good living doing that. Used through familiar spirits. And that's the way fortune tellers can tell you your past. The lady with the spirit of divination at Ephesus could accurately foretell the future by which she made much money for her owners. Now, I've always felt that she was probably a convert and was probably following along and still moving in divination and claiming it was God. But I don't know that for a fact. The Bible doesn't say that. But there are other cases where it does say that people who'd gotten saved had an evil angel that counseled them. Let's see. And so witchcraft. Now, there's another type of witchcraft. Witchcraft is, if you look up magic in Webster's Unabridged Collegiate Dictionary, it'll say magic is to control people and natural events by supernatural means. Now, this is divided into two sources. One is sorcery, where you control it through the use of music, drugs, because sorcery literally comes from the Greek pharmakomichia, which means drugs, from which we get our modern word pharmacy, through music, drugs, aluments, potions, talismans, and curses. Witchcraft is the control through compact with evil spirits, or demons. Now, those are the two divisions. Divination is the seeking of knowledge that you have no way of knowing through contract with a familiar spirit. Now, those are Webster's dictionaries. Now, whenever you... witchcraft is divided into intimidation, manipulation, both of which equal domination. Women, being smaller, tend to manipulate. Now, this is done through money and guilt, are the two most common types. Manipulate them through the maxing of the money. You know, pull that silver cord and son hops, or daughter hops. Just jingle the silver cord a little bit, you know, and send them $10 to buy a chicken or something, and make it act like it may make them think feel it's $100. But you get them to do what you want them to do. They don't want to hurt your feelings, so you cut off the money. And so you're able to manipulate them. Or you make them put guilt on them. Okay? A man tends to intimidate them, being bigger. I remember this man, he was this tall and this broad, you know, and he had always intimidated just by his size. You didn't want to make him mad. You gave him his way. Because if anger, he'd start getting red in the face and getting angry. Folks would back off and say, sure, okay. That's witchcraft. It's a sin. That's the reason God says a gentle and a quiet spirit is precious in my sight. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, and so you have witchcraft, parents manipulating children, wives manipulating husbands, husbands right, boss, employees, employees, the boss. These are relationships in which you can manipulate with witchcraft and with curses. And the last is the professional, which I've already described to you. I had a friend, before he got saved, was a professional curse caster. His father had been a Swedish curse caster before him. He was a Swedish curse caster. He lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He said that there was an old place outside of Minneapolis. It was an old thing. It had been a hotel on the Underground Railway. And a lot of people had died out there. And he felt like there was a lot of witchcraft that occurred out there. But he would go out and said it was the best place he ever found to cast curses. He took his wife with him once and said, "Isn't this a wonderful place?" His wife said, "It's the creepiest place I've ever been in. I'm going to go sit in the car." And he'd go in, he'd make his altar, he'd put up his black candles, he would speak the curse and chant and read certain sections of the Bible for the curse, and then he said a black cloud would form over the altar and then he would send it out. When he got saved, he lay on his face for days trying to recall all the curses that he'd ever cast and asking God for forgiveness. And I won't go into some of the things he said happened. You know, he said there was a nurse at the hospital. His friend didn't take good care of his friend, made some sort of mistake, and she lost an eye. So he put a curse on her, and she went blind in both eyes. Praise God. See, he was always very careful to investigate, very careful to make sure that the wrong had occurred. Because if it did not, the curse would come back on him. And that's what he said. And I've shown you this in Scripture. And so those are curses. Now, that's a spoken word. I can show you one. Let's look at one other one. Oh, me. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Let's look at Joshua. Let's look at Joshua 6:26. And now this, Joshua 6:26, after Jericho had fallen, Joshua said, "Then Joshua charged him at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord who raises up and builds the city of Jerusalem. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up the gates." And so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Now let's look over at 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. 16:34. Chapter 16, verse 34. 1 Kings. In his days, Hillel of Bethel built Jerusalem. He laid the foundation with Ibrahim, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Sippah, he set up the gates according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Jericho. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Jericho, that's right. Jerusalem. He built Jerusalem. Now, Jericho. God. That's the problem when you quote it from memory. Sometimes you should read it. There is the curse spoken by the man of God, instructed by God. It was the word of the Lord, it says in the Bible. It came to pass when it was violated. That's one other. Now, there are all kinds of curses in the Bible that come from violating God's word. I won't go into those today. I will go into those in the sins of the fathers, which I will speak on if I get another chance to speak. Yes, ma'am.
A step-parent.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He assumes the spiritual control of the family. He is in the position of authority. If he is supporting this person, and they're living in his household, living off of his goods, and he is the spiritual head of the household, yes, ma'am, he has that authority. That's my understanding. I cannot give you scripture for that. Okay? Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, I've been very attentive. We've sat now for an hour. Everybody will stand up now and we'll see if we can get up. We can praise God a little bit. See if we can get the blood out of our feet back up to our brains. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we praise your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now we won't praise you, Lord God. And we're going to have a prayer. I'm going to lead you in some prayers. First, I'll lead you in an affirmation of the gospel. For the Lord Jesus Christ honors the gospel. And then we're going to repent of any curses that we may have spoken, intentionally or unintentionally. We're going to repent and ask God's forgiveness and counsel and draw these back. Okay. And then we're going to stand against and refuse any curses spoken against us. And then we're going to break the curse of the fathers, or from the sins of the fathers. It's real, people. And then we're going to call out the spirits in the name of Jesus. Say,
dear Lord,
I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. In Him was no sin. He was made sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God. His blood was shed for my sin. He died, was buried. On the third day He was risen. He rose again for my justification. He ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of God. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All my sins are forgiven. According to the riches of His grace, I am a member of the kingdom of God. My citizenship is in the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. I have the right as an ambassador to call upon the armed forces of my Father to defend me from all attacks of the enemy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Redeemer and my big brother. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I repent of all my sin, of all the bad words I've spoken, all the evil implications that I have sent forth. I repent, and I counsel them, and I ask you to call them back. In the name of Jesus, I repent of sin. I ask forgiveness under the blood of Jesus. I break all the curses that I have spoken out in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in condemnation, I shall refute and refuse. I refuse all curses, all soulish prayers spoken against me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless those people who've cursed me.
according to your word. I forgive them.
I forgive
anyone
who's ever hurt me,
who's ever used me, abused me,
dominated me,
stolen from me,
or hurt me in any way.
I ask you to bless them,
Lord,
and bring them to salvation.
I repent from revenge.
I cancel the debt.
In Jesus'
name.
Lord Jesus.
I break all the curses
that have come down through the family line.
I break the curse of idolatry.
The curse of whoredom.
The curse of incest.
Curse of illegitimacy.
Curse of perverseness.
The vagabond curse.
And all other curses.
I break them.
I repent of the sins of my ancestors.
Your word says,
Jesus was made a curse for me.
That I might be delivered
from the curse of the law.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I loosen myself
from all evil angels,
all familiar spirits,
all deceiving spirits,
all seducing spirits,
all witchcraft,
all divination,
all power of the enemy.
I bind these things,
cast them out.
And I loose my family
forever
from these demonic beings
and these curses
in Jesus'
name.
I break these curses
back
10 generations
in Jesus'
name.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
you know
the thing that's binding me.
The thing that's troubling me.
I ask for deliverance.
Now.
In the name of Jesus.
Your word says.
In Joel 2:32.
Anyone.
Calls upon the name of the Lord.
Shall be delivered.
I am not a rejected child.
I'm a child of God.
I have been adopted
into the family of God.
I am accepted in the beloved.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, all praise God. Let's sit down now.
We're going to have a mass deliverance service.
I'm going to call out the spirits.
I want everybody to sit down and put both feet on the floor.
Don't cross your feet. Don't cross your legs. Don't cross your fingers.
Remember when you were a little kid, you said if you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth? Remember that? Well, the devil, that's a witchcraft sign. The devil says if you cross your fingers, cross your knees, cross your toes, that he don't have to believe what you're saying.
So keep both feet flat on the floor and listen to and come against what I call out. If it's not there, he won't come out. But if it's there, and we bind it, and you come against it,
set your will against it.
I don't want you praying in tongues.
I don't want you saying anything.
I just want you to set your mind against it. It's like having a baby. You got to push it out. And you set your mind against it, and come against it in your will, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I resist you. In Jesus' name.
It comes out of the spirits means wind. It generally comes out of the breathing passage, out of the nose, out of the mouth, sometimes out of the ears. It comes out as a cough, as a yawn. Sometimes to cast out means to give a quick jerk and vomit. Sometimes it actually comes out as a vomitus.
Whatever happens, let it happen. Don't be worried about what people think. If you want to have to make a choice between your dignity and your demons, let your demons go. You can get your dignity back.
Don't keep your demons because you're afraid you might look undignified. Everybody worried about their own. They're not worried about yours. Well, let them go. I rolled right over here in the third floor. I rolled in my own vomitus for 15, 20 minutes. I thought, well, nobody ever come over and hit me. Every time I tried to get up, I threw up again and fell back down in it. But you know something? I went and took a shower, and I put on fresh clothes, and I felt good. And I had my dignity back. Nobody worried about me over there. They were worried about getting their own demons out. Praise the Lord Jesus. And you hear something over there, don't go over there and look and see what's going on. Concentrate on getting your demons out. Be glad that to hear that music when you hear them coming out. That's a, oh God, that's beautiful sound when somebody screams and that demon's coming out. But don't go over there and look. Don't worry about that person. Worry about getting your demons out. We got workers that will take care of those people. Praise the Lord. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of rejection. I bind the spirit of rejection. I say that these are not rejected people. This spirits of rejection, rejection by father, rejection by mother, rejection by spouse, by friends, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. They're not rejected people. These are the people of God. They've been accepted. I bind the spirits of fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not making it. Fear of death. Fear of poverty. Fear of being criticized. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits of rejection and fear. Fear of rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, fear. Fear of the dark. Fear of water. Fear of spiders. Fear of snakes. Fear all around. Fear of Mobobakia. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. For fear has torment, and the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ to drive out all fear. Fear, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, fear, and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind fear, I bind lust in the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Come out. Come out. Lust, love of the world in the name of Jesus. Fear of losing in the name of Jesus. Fear of not being loved. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Fear of not being loved. Lust in the name of Jesus. The world's answer to love. Lust. Come out in the name of Jesus. Lust for things. Lust for position. Lust for money. For control. For sex. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Lust of the eye. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't have God's people. These are God's people, and I break your power, and I command you to be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All lust be gone in the name of Jesus. Fantasy lust, go in the name of Jesus. Impurity lust, go. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of perfection. Fear of working for salvation. Work salvation by works. Acceptance by works. Rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Perfectionism. If you'd worked a little bit harder, you'd been accepted. I break its power. I break the power of rejection in the name of Jesus. I break the power of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. I break the power of critical spirits in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All criticism go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break criticism in the name of Jesus. Critical spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of rebellion in the name of Jesus. They rebelled against the Word of God. Hallelujah. They rejected God's Word and rebelled in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rebellion. Rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Rebellion and stubbornness. Stubborn spirits, rebellious spirits, idolatrous spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All of you be gone. Be gone, rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. I break the power of bitterness. Bitterness in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness. I pull out the knife of betrayal in the name of Jesus. And I command the root of bitterness to come out. Bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, bitterness. Come out. All rebellion and bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. All you rebellious spirits, you bitter spirits, come out. Deep hurt spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Deep hurt, hurt, deep hurt, come out. Come out. Self-pity, come out. Spirits of self-pity, come out in the name of Jesus. All self-pity, go, go, go. Self-pity, feel sorry for myself. Pull me spirits, come out. All the spirits of pull me. Pull me, pull me. Spirits of being dissatisfied, dissatisfied. Rebellious and dissatisfied. Dissatisfied with God's provision for your life. Dissatisfied with your mate. Dissatisfied with your job. Dissatisfied with your looks. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! Come out, all spirits of... Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, dissatisfaction. Come out, rebellion, dissatisfaction, bitterness, anger, rage, hostility, murder. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out, spirits of suicide, heaviness, and suicide, and depression. Come out, spirits of suicide, and heaviness, and depression. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Depression, I break your power. Come out, spirits of paranoia. Spirits of paranoia and witchcraft. Come out, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Come out, witchcraft. All you witchcraft devils, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, witchcraft. Come out. 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 Out, witchcraft, come out in the name of Jesus. All you witchcraft spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you witchcraft spirits, all you control spirits, all you spirits of control, come out. All you spirits of voodoo, come out in the name of Jesus. All you Hindu spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of meditation, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of Kundalini and meditation in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the idolatry spirits, come out. Pride, pride. Pride, spirit of pride and haughtiness. I bind the spirit of pride and haughtiness in the name of Jesus Christ. All religious spirits, religious pride, Pharisee pride, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go! 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 In Jesus' name. Praise you and bless you, Lord. Come out in the name of Jesus. Lord, send the war angels, Lord. Send the angels to bind them up and pull them out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. I speak to the spirit of paranoia. I break its power. The spirits of schizophrenia, come out. Spirits of envy and jealousy, come out. Which is idolatry, come out in the name of Jesus. All envy and jealousy and idolatry, I break your power. Come out of there. Come out of God's people. Leave God's people now. Leave them. Leave them. All you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. All you religious and seducing spirits, come out. All spirits of a false anointing, come out. All spirits of false anointing, come out. All divination spirits, false anointing spirits, religious spirits, I break your power. I break your power and I command you to leave. I bind witchcraft, mind control in the name of Jesus Christ. I isolate it from all other spirits. I say it can draw no power, authority, or communicate with any other spirit. I bind it and command it to leave. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. Turn her mind loose. All spirits of doubt and unbelief. I break your power. Doubt and unbelief that won't let people get healed. I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone. Gone. Go. All spirits of desertion. Go. Spirits of desertion. Being deserted by a parent. Being deserted by a spouse. Come out. Spirits of desertion. I break your power. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All desertion spirits. Come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of intellectualism. I bind the spirit of intellectualism in the name of Jesus. The spirits of logic. Come out. Logic. Come out. Logical spirits, reasonable spirits, I break your power. All spirits of doubt and unbelief, I break your power. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Draw them out, Lord God. Draw out those demons. Draw out that spirit of pride and stiff neck and stubbornness. All you spirits of stubborn spirits, all spirits of idolatry and stubbornness and narcissism, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you say, surely you've borne all of our infirmities and all of our sorrows and all of our sickness and all of our pain. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon you, and by your stripes we have been healed. I speak healing now. I speak healing to migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to sinus headaches, to sinusitis, to allergies, to tinnitus in the name of Jesus, to deafness. I bind the spirit of deafness in the name of Jesus and command it to come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of confusion and frustration and Alzheimer's in Jesus' name. Bind the spirits of memory loss. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of confusion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, memory loss, in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of blindness in the name of Jesus. Come out, blindness. Come out, glaucoma. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, optic atrophy. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. You can't cause these people to go blind in the name of Jesus. He came that the blind might see and the deaf might hear. And the captives will be set free in the name of Jesus. We proclaim freedom in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We bind the spirits of... Oh, Jesus. Esophagitis in the name of Jesus. Gingivitis in the name of Jesus. Carditis in the name of Jesus. Root canals in the name of Jesus Christ. Gingivitis in the name of Jesus. Pyorrhea in the name of Jesus. We bind them and command them to leave in Jesus' name. We bind the spirits of esophagitis and duodenitis and gastritis in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Crohn's disease, colitis in the name of Jesus. Diarrhea, go in the name of Jesus. Pancreatitis, hepatitis, cholecystitis. Go out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hepatitis, I bind you and I break your power over God's people in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restoration to them in the name of Jesus. I come against prostatitis in the name of Jesus. Urethritis, come against the name. Come against your endometriosis, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Barrenness in the name of Jesus. I break the power. I break His power. In the name of Jesus, dyspareunia, I break your power. Sexual frigidity, I break your power. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Dyspareunia, I break your power. Be gone in Jesus' name. 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 Low sperm count, I break your power. I command you to leave in God. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing and restoration to God's people. I bind the spirits of arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all arthritis spirits. I bind all spirits of myositis in the name of Jesus. Of chronic fatigue syndrome. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. All neuritis. Go. All diabetes. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the curse of eating and drinking blood in the name of Jesus. We command diabetes and high blood pressure. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All cancer spirits, I bind the spirit of cancer. I call the spirit of cancer out. Go! I break the curse of cancer. I break the curse of mental illness in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, you spirits of mental illness. Be gone, you spirits of cancer. You demons, I bind you. I break your power and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody got any sickness that didn't call out? Praise you. Broken bones. I say be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Broken bones be healed. Line up with the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution. I come against the spirits of heart failure. In the name of Jesus Christ. The spirits of pulmonary congestion. I break their power. Congestive heart failure. I bind the spirit of stroke and heart attacks in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution to God's people. Lord, let your healing grace come down. Let your healing grace.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.